Please turn with me this morning to Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8 and verse 1. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul's letter to the Romans, his central theme concerns the law of God and how it is that sinners who have broken God's law can be made right with God, justified. The problem we all have is God's law. We have all broken it. We've all sinned. I want to speak this morning about this marvelous expression, this wonderful phrase, these two words, no condemnation. And I have three headings, and the first is this: condemnation defined. Condemnation defined. What is it? What is Paul talking about here when he says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus? Well, the word in the Greek, it literally means a verdict that has been brought against somebody. It's an adverse finding against you. Condemnation. It's an adverse finding against us. A legal status. The prisoner is in the dock, and the jury has come back. Well, if it's a jury trial or if it's just a judge trial, the sentence is not passed, but the verdict has been given, and the verdict is guilty. And that is the condemnation. That is the verdict. He hasn't been sentenced yet, this prisoner in the dock, but he has been condemned. He has been found guilty. A guilty verdict. And that is the verdict that is passed upon all of the human race, without any exception. This is laying out for us so clearly the seriousness of sin. What is sin? Why rebellion against God? Rejection of his standards, the breaking, continual breaking of his law by what we do, by what we fail to do, by what we think, by what we say, by what we do with our hands, as it were. And there are such consequences to sin. Condemnation defined. Well, we have to understand it. This guilty verdict. Where does it come from? It comes from a holy God. God is holy. He cannot tolerate sin. He must punish sin. He cannot ignore it. People say, well, if God is love, why can't he just forgive sin? Why can't he just overlook it? Because he is God. And he is perfectly loving. But he is also perfectly righteous and holy and just. And he cannot ignore sin. He cannot excuse sin. He cannot turn a blind eye to sin. Justice is justice. Perfect justice applies across the board. We don't see perfect justice in this world. We see varying standards of justice as different judges apply the law in different ways. Or perhaps a more lenient with one defendant than with another. But with God, justice is perfect. Well, you say, well, I'm not condemned, surely. I live a good life. Friend, you only have to think about that extensive laying out of God's eternal law in the Ten Commandments to realize that, yes, you are guilty. Has anybody kept any of the Ten Commandments? No. We've broken every single one of them, one way or another, and probably in every single way. If you're found guilty, then you're awaiting your sentence. You're condemned. But along comes another person. You're in the dock, and they stand up and they say, excuse me, Your Honour, whatever this man has to pay, whatever the fine is, I'll pay it. Or whatever the prison sentence is, I will serve it. You say, well, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? That would be amazing. But we must get hold of this. This is so important. That is not what Paul is talking about here. What Paul is talking about is much more wonderful. Is just marvelous. Is beyond description almost. It is so profound. It is so glorious about Jesus Christ and who he is and what he has done. What does no condemnation mean? It means that you are declared to be not guilty. It's not just that you are guilty and someone else pays the price for you, but that you are declared to be not guilty and your price is paid by another because he is declared to be guilty in your place. You're not replaced by a substitute just before the passing of the sentence. You don't ever get to the sentencing. Your place in the dock is taken by another, and your sentence is taken by another, and your guilt is taken by another. No condemnation, no guilty verdict at all. You are declared to be innocent. The Saviour takes our place. He takes our condemnation. But we do need to recognize something very important. Condemnation defined. Now, condemnation deserved. Second thing. Condemnation deserved. We speak of criminals so often and we say, well, she was on the wrong side of the law. I'm trying to mix it up a bit. I don't want to give you the impression that all criminals are male. They say, she was on the wrong side of the law. And we think of it in terms of black and white, don't we? We say, well, that's the law. She broke it. She's on the wrong side of it. And the law is either kept or it is broken. Now, you may not think of yourself as a criminal, but according to the Bible, God's Word, you are on the wrong side of the law. We all are, and we cannot keep the law. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's the reality. Every human being is a criminal. Every human being is a lawbreaker. Now, of course, in this world, justice is never perfect, and some criminals are not caught. But we won't have that luxury. Everything we have thought and said and done is a matter of record before the eyes of a holy and righteous God. The evidence is logged. The locker is sealed. It cannot be tampered with. It cannot be changed. It cannot be denied. The case against us is watertight. The Lord Jesus says, I know your works, to each one of us. He cannot fail to know every detail. He is Almighty God. Of course he knows everything that we've done. And for every breach of God's law, justice will be done. Condemnation, you see, is deserved. A guilty verdict is deserved. But Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation. How can that possibly be? Paul himself has detailed in the previous chapter the struggles he has as a Christian with sin. I'll just read you a few verses from verse 14 in chapter 7. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. You see, Paul says, I'm a sinner. And he's a Christian. He's a believer in Christ. We're born with a sinful nature, friends. David knew it. Psalm 51 verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Which doesn't mean that childbirth is a sinful thing. It means that we are all born with a sinful nature. This is the reality. When a person comes to Jesus Christ and trusts in him, repents of their sin, lays hold upon what he has done at Calvary's cross, believes in him, they're born again and they receive a new nature, new tastes, new desires, new abilities to serve and to honour the Lord, a desire. You see, it was there with Paul. This is what I want to do, he says. I want to do what's right. I'm a different man. I'm a new man. But there's a battle on in my heart. The old nature, the old man is still there, and there is an enemy within. And that's the conflict that Paul is talking about in chapter 7. Christians still sin. That's the truth. But for Christians who still sin, there is therefore now no condemnation. You see, it's not about being sinless. The problem is sin. Sin is removed. Now there is no condemnation. No, we are born sinners and we will die as sinners. We will not be perfect until we come into the kingdom of God, until we stand before him, until we are finished with this world of sin and death. And then we will not sin again. This is a verse of great comfort, friends, but it's only a comfort to Christians. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you a genuine Christian? Have you been born again? Don't take these words, no condemnation, and think, well, I'm all right then. Yeah, I go to church. I listen to what's said. I sing the hymns. I come to believe that Jesus is God. And what more do I need? No condemnation. I'm all right. I'll be fine. We need to be in Christ Jesus. We all need to be. And that is the third heading. Condemnation defined. Condemnation deserved. Condemnation diverted. Condemnation diverted. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ. Why? He is the one who is declared by the judge of all the earth to be guilty, and you to be innocent. He then receives and bears the punishment which you should receive and which you could never truly bear. 2 Corinthians 5:21 these well-known words, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." And it must be this way. It must be like this. You see, how can we be declared innocent any other way? How can it be any other way? We can't be declared innocent unless someone else takes our place and is declared guilty. You see, we would still be guilty and somehow just get off without punishment. But that's not justice. And a God who would do that is not the God of the Bible. Indeed, is no God at all. That's not no condemnation, friends. We must be declared to be innocent and righteous. You say, "Well, I'm not innocent. I'm not righteous. I know the things I've done. How can I be accepted by God? However can I be accepted by God?" Some great criminals escape punishment in this life. And they perhaps perform some master crime, some heist, or whatever it may be. And they run away and they go to some country where there is no extradition treaty, or whatever it might be. And it's known that they are there. And perhaps they have quite a nice life and they live by the beach and they do what they please. They're still guilty. Just because they haven't been punished doesn't mean that they're innocent. They're still guilty. And they're certainly not accepted by society. They will be viewed for who they are. Guilty. The fact that they have not paid any part of their debt, this doesn't enter into it, does it? And so it must be with us. We can't just have our sin paid for and be accepted in God's sight, because we would still be guilty. All the things we have thought and said and done, we have thought and said and done them. And how can it be said that we didn't do it? How can it be said that we are not guilty when we are? Except for Jesus Christ. Except for Jesus Christ, for what he did on the cross. That God the Father made him to be sin for us, that we might be declared and become, in the sight of God, truly righteous. We are given Christ's righteousness. We are declared to be innocent. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You say, "Well, life is still full of condemnation. People judge me all the time, sometimes unfairly. They misjudge my motives. They misunderstand me." Well, that's life, isn't it? That's life. But that's not how God is. We can't help other people's bad judgment, or maybe good judgment. But ultimately, it doesn't matter. There is only one judgment that matters. There is only one view that counts. And it is God's view of us. God's judgment. God's condemnation. 2 Corinthians 5:10, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." That's a sobering reality. Have you stopped to consider this? For the person who trusts in Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. But what about everyone else? Condemnation. A guilty verdict. A sentence to be passed. found guilty, and what will you do before a holy God? And what will you say before a holy God? What could you say? Nothing. Nothing. You will have no excuse. You will have no grounds to plead. You will have nothing to say and face the reality of eternal punishment, eternal hell, loss, separation from God that never ends because you are guilty. But why? Oh, why? How can it be that you could hear about these things? That you could be here this morning and say, the judgment of God, well, I'm not going to concern myself with that. How can you be so utterly foolish this morning? A complete and utter fool. With such a glorious text before you, you may be declared innocent and yet you say, well, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to deal with it. Your sin is condemnable, no doubt about it. But if you are in Christ, then you will not be condemned. If you are in Christ Jesus. Surely that's the great question this morning, isn't it? That's our great need, to be in Christ Jesus. And once in Him, what else really matters? Nothing. It is to be in Him that matters more than anything else. But what does it mean to be in Him? Well, I'll just say two things. Firstly, it means to be trusting in Him entirely. To believe on Him. We are saved by faith in what He has done for us at Calvary's cross. What did He do? Why? God the Father laid upon His Son the punishment for the sin of all who believe in Him. There He suffered. He bore that weight of punishment and there He died. You must believe in Him, trust in Him entirely and what He has done. That He has risen from the dead. And secondly, what does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? It means to be identified with Him. To be entirely yielded to Him. Living for Him. And number two follows from number one. He saves you. He changes you. He brings you into a living relationship with Himself. And then by the Holy Spirit, He lives in you so close that there is nothing between you. And it can be said of you that you are truly in Christ Jesus. He so loves you. He so loves you. If you are His, that He has willingly been declared guilty. And borne your punishment that you might be declared legally, finally, fully innocent and therefore be acceptable in the sight of God our Heavenly Father. And therefore be admissible into the courts of heaven and to be in His presence for all eternity. Oh, friends, what a promise there is in these words. No condemnation. If you know the Saviour today, rejoice. It's such a wonderful reality. Such a liberating truth. And live like the free man or free woman that you are. Live. You cannot be condemned. You have a place in heaven. How can we be unexcited? How can we be disinterested? How can we be apathetic with such a wonderful promise before us? But friends, if you're here this morning and you have not trusted in Jesus Christ, you don't have no condemnation, you have condemnation. You live with the guilty verdict hanging over you every moment of every day. You wake up in the morning, you are guilty. You go to work tomorrow, you will be guilty. You come home from work, you will be guilty. You have your dinner, you will be guilty. You go to bed guilty. You wake up guilty. And day after day after day, it goes on and on and on. In the eyes of a righteous God, this one is guilty and guilty and guilty still. And your life could end at any time, and you will face your judge. Why go on? Why go on like this? Don't ignore the reality of your situation. Forget everyone else, everything else. Who cares what anyone thinks? Who cares what anyone else thinks about you or whatever it might be? Who cares if people think you're already a Christian and you realize you're not? Who cares if people might laugh at you if you say you're a follower of Jesus Christ? What matters? Why? It is this guilty sentence upon me, this guilty verdict upon me, my sin. And I have before me a Savior, and one who will take my place and bear my verdict and suffer my sentence. Don't ignore the reality of your situation, but come to Jesus Christ and repent and believe in Him. And then nobody will be able to condemn you. Nobody. Not the person who's known you all your life and knows your sin, knows your past failings, knows your weaknesses. Not your husband, not your wife, not your children, not your parents, not your friends, not your neighbors. Nobody will be able to condemn you, because God has lifted your condemnation. And Satan will not be able to condemn you as much as he would like to. And you will not be able to condemn yourself either. How regularly we want to condemn ourselves. And Satan gets in there and tempts us. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free, for God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in him? It is the only place to be. Come to him. Trust in him. May he bless his word to our hearts this morning. Amen. Amen.